great! It's my favorite podcast! In the corner, back by the woodpile!
I'm Spun Counter Guy, thanks for stopping by. This is another episode of Trying to Herd Cats, a philosophical game of Pong, where I throw anonymous quotes at anonymous people and see what shakes out the pant leg. The first quote, I'm lazy, but it's the lazy people who invented the wheel and the bicycle because they didn't like walking or carrying things.
Absolutely.
Okay. Are you lazy?
I don't consider myself lazy. Being 45, I'm sure not as fast as I used to be when I was 20.
But right.
I always say work smarter, not harder. So I'll always try to find the lazy way out to do something, but not necessarily lazy. I think it's easier.
Yeah, right. More efficient, maybe.
More efficient, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, when you're a kid, you know, you might be out cutting firewood or something, and you'll drag this huge log tree back to the truck or whatever. But, you know, today we'll work smarter. We'll go out there, we'll cut up into little tiny pieces, and we won't pick it up. We'll roll it. Use levers.
There you go. Yeah. All right.
Again, I'm lazy, but it's the lazy people who invented the wheel and the bicycle because they didn't like walking or carrying things.
I'd say that'd probably be true because, you know, there's always, I think people are always looking for more efficient way of doing things, and why do more work than you have to, you know?
Amen. Are you lazy?
Extremely.
What have you invented?
When I was in the ship and in the Navy, there was a lot of things that we had to type out, a lot of commands and stuff, uh-huh. to do like these routine things that we would do every day.
On the computer?
On the computer. Mm-hmm. So I developed a menu system uh-huh. that basically all a person had to do was like press a key and it would do it. It would do the command.
So you did that? They didn't mind you did that? The
no.
government?
But I had written notes out stating, okay, when you press one, it initiates this command. But it was just, I made it lazy. I didn't want to sit there and type out,
right.
you know, 10 lines of, you know, characters and to you know, do these programs. So I just created a menu and just like, you know, press one to do a backup of blah, blah, blah.
Were you a hero amongst the, put you on their shoulders and carry you around?
No, it was nothing like that.
Okay.
So yeah, I'd say, I would agree with that because, you know, it was a more efficient way of doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, why spend 5 minutes doing something when you can hit a key and have it done for you?
Again? I'm lazy, but it's the lazy people who invented the wheel and the bicycle because they didn't like walking or carrying things.
My laziness, like, I'll have goals or priorities, and there's times where I just cannot do it. So I'll just go on to another lesser priority until I'm ready to do the other one. So I'm never not moving forward. I might not be working on the most important thing, but I'm working on the next most important thing, mm-hmm. or the third most important. So I don't let, and I don't want to call it laziness. It's more like, you know, you make up a story in your head and you psych yourself out. I was talking myself out of not playing hockey a couple of weeks ago. And I was talking myself out of it all the way to the rink. I ended up at the rink and I was exhausted. I finally went into the rink and I just had so much fun. I've done that several times.
So you're ready to turn around at any point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not. I'll admit it. You know, I got that story going on in my head where I could be doing something else, and I'm just, basically I'm fooling myself. Mm-hmm. My friend's grandmother's from Italy, and she kept saying that all the time, like, you fool of yourself, you just a fool of yourself. And not full of yourself, but everyone, she sees it. Like, people, yeah, they fool themselves all the time.
Is this the one who's always yelling about the Rothschilds controlling the world?
No, but it's his... Yeah, that's the one. I hear her all the time, you know, through his voice, him telling me that story. Because I don't want to fool myself.
Right.
You know, I'm always trying to catch, like, what kind of bull crap I'm running on myself.
Mm.
You know?
Again, I'm lazy, But it's the lazy people who invented the wheel and the bicycle because they didn't like walking or carrying things.
I know people don't want to walk. Not like they should.
Do you walk?
Not like I should because I have this fear of falling.
All right, well, I think you have good
grounds. See, I fell all the way down the steps.
Yeah. Tell me about that. Hang on. Rusty!
Come here, Rusty.
Well, I went downstairs in the basement, and I came back up and got up the top step, and I guess I misstep or something, and I started falling. I fell all the way down back down the steps. I kept trying to get up, and I couldn't. I guess I was kind of weak through my back and shoulders and everything. Mm. And I got down there, and I didn't have the cell phone or anything with me, and Jane called Billy Joe because she said that we were supposed to meet, and I hadn't gotten there, and she was wondering about me. So he came out here, and he picked me up. I was in the basement and didn't have my cell phone or anything. I couldn't get up.
You're lucky.
I was lucky I didn't break anything, well, really.
There's that, but you're lucky that you had an appointment.
Yes.
With your sister, because...
Yeah, because I could lay down there for a day or two, really.
Right. Man, that would be terrible. So.
Nothing to eat. You can't go to the bathroom.
Well, you could, but it wouldn't be pretty.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
Been kind of stinky. Is that all?
Yeah, okay.
Next quote. No intention have I to stay here long. Where wine fills a thousand cups, there I'll put up a transient home. If a sportive friend comes to drink with me, it grieves me more to think he has to leave.
I relate to it from, again, a performing point of view of, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people laughing and clapping, and but yet, you know, at the end of it, I'm there packing up by myself in the quietness of it.
Do you feel low after that?
No, I don't. I actually enjoy that part of it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, which is good because some people do. You get that high and then you get that low. I actually like that. I've done my part. You guys have laughed. Everybody had a great time now. Leave. This is my time to decompress and move on.
Again, no intention have I to stay here long. Where wine fills a thousand cups, there I'll put up a transient home. If a sportive friend comes to drink with me, it grieves me more to think he has to leave.
Yeah, the opposite of that is, you know, what was Ben Franklin? What did he say? A friend is like fish, after 3 days they stink. Is there something to that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you and I talked about this before, uh-huh. How you have 5-minute friends,
uh-huh.
20-minute friends, uh-huh. 2-hour friends, uh-huh. You know, and how...
And road trip friends are in a very small tier.
Yeah, we enjoyed each other's company for a week.
Yeah, that's true. We never got mad or nothing.
Again, no intention have I to stay here long. Where wine fills a thousand cups, there I'll put up a transient home. If a sportive friend comes to drink with me, it grieves me more to think he has to leave.
With the opening line, it kind of speaks to the futility of the impermanence of existence.
So you're beyond that these days. Like, you don't get sad about impermanence?
No, God, no. I mean, impermanence is what makes things special. Mm-hmm. You know, if we live forever and could endure all sorts of stab wounds and everything, I mean, what good is a stab wound? It's no fun at all anymore, right? And by stab wound, I mean that as a metaphor.
Yeah, but you know,
for many things.
But in a way,
I'll give you. I've got.
It is hard to die these days. Have you noticed?
It's harder to die these
days
than it used to be.
Because I actually was reading about somebody even in the 30s that he had like a blister from playing tennis, and he got infected and died.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I mean, infections used to kill people all the time. That's not such a problem. This actually brought up a good little story about consequences being important. So I used to do a lot of lucid dream work,
mm-hmm.
right? And so you're for anyone listening, doesn't know what that is, you're dreaming, and you actually know consciously that you are dreaming. Mm-hmm. But you remain in the dream. It's like a waking dream, sort mm-hmm. of. Things are still happening all around you, but you realize to an extent, more or less, that these are things that you are creating on the fly. Mm-hmm. You may not be consciously creating all of that stuff, but you're conscious that you are creating all that stuff, nevertheless. And inside of this type of dream, you have control over your own actions, and you have more or less control over some of the events. You can add things, mm-hmm. Remove things. You can move yourself. You can fly away from it all if you want. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that happens as you explore lucid dreaming is, and this at least happened to me, is you start trying out things because you know there aren't any real consequences to your actions, okay? So you're in a dream, you're around a couple of people, mm-hmm. You become aware that you're dreaming, you're mm-hmm. like, you know what, I'm going to kill this person right here. Mm-hmm. So you start wailing on this person or stabbing this person and mm-hmm. doing whatever, right? Or you're in a car and you're like, well, I can just run over lots of people. I can do whatever I want. I can drive through a house, yada, yada, yada. Or sex. You know, I can have sex with this person. Mm-hmm. I can do this and that. I can do whatever I want. And it gets old.
Really?
It gets old. And I...
So you like limitations is, or...
Consequences are important. Uh-huh. You know, and the and it's related to impermanence only in the sense of, you know, like if everything lasts forever, if you mm-hmm. we all last forever and mm-hmm. there's no end to it, and the same thing happens with stories involving time travel, you know, as if there, when you introduce time travel into a story, nothing means anything, because you can always go back and change it. What's the point? You know, the great thing with impermanence is knowing that nothing lasts, period, mm-hmm. you know. It makes everything very special. It makes all of your time special, mm-hmm. even if it sucks because you're spending 8 hours a day working mm-hmm. somewhere. Or, you know, it can have that effect of like, yeah, you know that you're not going to last forever, and so here you are wasting your time doing this or that. Or, mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's also, it makes your time spent with other people really special because mm-hmm. because you're not going to last forever. But also, you can kind of move past it mm-hmm. once, because you know it won't last if it's something bad, you know.
In your lucid dreaming, have you ever killed and had your way with me?
No.
Oh.
Again, no intention have I to stay here long. Where wine fills 1,000 cups, there I'll put up a transient home. If a sportive friend comes to drink with me, it grieves me more to think he has to leave.
I have an awareness that you have to be willing to have your heart broken thousands of times to even have the experience that would lead to it being broken once, or, well, twice. You know, like a lot of people shut down. I don't want to do that. But I think in a lot of ways, love is pain. You're going to lose people, whether it's when they die, or when you die, or when they move away, or when you have a fight and then you never talk again. And I've had people, friends that I've known for 15 years, in the last couple of years just cut me out. I don't even know why. I wouldn't not want to have the experiences that I had with them.
Does it pain you to think about the good experiences and considering that they don't talk to you now?
Yeah. I'm in pain all the time about it. And I think that if you've loved and lost people, you will have pain, but you don't have to suffer the pain.
Some would argue that, like by the Buddhists, for example, that you got to extinguish suffering. Of course, they're the big mantra. And so theirs is to not be attached to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that's really the right way to go when it comes to relationships?
I think that...
Because obviously, if this guy had converted to Buddhism, so I don't even think he would even enjoy his drinking or mm-hmm. his friend, but he also wouldn't have the suffering of the after.
let's say, for example, that reincarnation is real, and every time you come back, you're working to get closer and closer to a state of enlightenment that the Buddhists are talking about. You've got, according to them, thousands of lifetimes before you reach it. And as long as you're not obviously close and you came into this lifetime to go, I'm going to the ashram and I'm going to spend my whole life there and I'm serious about this. I mean, I have friends that are that way. You're put here in a three-dimensional body of tissues and chemicals that have responses to stimuli. And I think that's for a reason. You have responses to things. Now, as your intelligence and sophistication grows as a person, I think it's responsible to intervene with some of your responses to things. But what the Buddhists are talking about, I feel like you have to be 100% willing to go there. I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm not saying that I disagree. I'm also not saying that they're right and that I agree. But what I'm saying is, I think I see a lot of people that are kind of half-assing their way into trying to be that thing. And what they really kind of end up being is a little bit stunted or impeded in their true response to life.
Can you give an example of like somebody you know that might have done that, including yourself?
I know. I mean, including myself, yeah. I went to 2 Vipassana programs, which is a 10-day silent meditation. It's 108 hours of meditation in 10 days. And it's all based around equanimity. And, you know, the cause of all suffering is desire. So you have these cravings and you have these aversions to things, and they're really causing you great suffering. So I can come out of that and I can avoid the development of a point of view. But I'm also in a world that's not all that. And I like to do things in that world. I like to act. I like to make music. And those are built on really passions and cravings and aversions and points of view. And
creating joy.
Yeah. I mean, I think music in spiritual circles, or art in spiritual circles, which is, I'm an artist. That's what I do. I think art serves a totally different purpose in those realms than it does in the realm that most of us exist in. And I didn't start doing art because of the aspects of it that are employed in the spiritual realm.
You did it for the chicks.
I did it for the... No. I really, you know, my brain chemistry does a cool thing. Uh-huh. When the experience of life is distilled in some essential way in art. So that's kind of opposite of what Buddha is saying to augment. You don't have to suffer it always. You don't have to be sad about it always. It can inform you. I think part of being a illuminating force in the world is having inner content. And the more inner content you have, the more you're going to be able to understand those around you, the more you're going to be able to relate to them. As an artist, the more you're going to be able to really distill experience into essentials. And that's just powerful and potent. It reaches through any art form and moves the person, I guess, experiencing it. You know? Inner content is vital and heartbreaking.
Right.
And vital.
And last quote, the only thing evil men need to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
You know what I want to say about that? I want to say evil men prosper a lot of the time, whether good men do nothing or not.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I feel. I think sometimes it depends on people's intelligence. Sometimes when the evil people are really intelligent, they can do bad things to good people. I tell you what that puts me in mind of. My whole life gets interrupted by fraud. People get hold of my banking detail. They get hold of my social security number, mm-hmm. my date of birth, mm-hmm. from wherever they've got it from, and they're able to apply for loans. They'll be able to get into my bank account. And what they do is they sell the information on, they try and do something with it, and then they sell it on to someone else. And I'm a good person, mm-hmm. so why does that sort of stuff keep happening to me? It's really inconvenient. Change my credit card details, change my bank details or whatever.
What is your social security number, by the way?
I'm not going to tell you. I'm just kidding. But the thing is, right, somebody else has it. They all seem to have it. So, you know, so just based on the question that you've just asked me.
So do you feel like anybody in those cases with the fraud, is there anybody good trying to stop these people from doing that to you?
Yeah, because, you know, when you get to the banks, one thing that they do, which gives you enormous peace of mind, is they just say, you're not responsible for the cost of anything. Uh-huh. So if somebody takes money, we're going to give it back. I mean, that's terrible for the banks, of course. But that's one good thing. And the other thing is they do try to help you through the experience. But, for example, the bank was responsible for giving someone information who rang in. And so I had to change all my details because that person gave them information about my account. So they were able to change my address. They were able to change my telephone number. So there's like good workings and bad workings. Mm-hmm. But in general, I would say that the banks do try to help.
Again, the only thing evil men need to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
Probably.
Okay.
But very likely, probably. There are instances when you say, okay, you're supposed to obey your leaders.
Right.
But when Hitler was a leader,
yeah,
good men did nothing.
Yeah.
And look what happened.
Yeah, very few did. So, some tried.
So, but, yeah, some people did things, but it ended up like it was supposed to end.
Well, back what you were saying, like, where does it, in your mind, you say God is in control. Where does God's control and our free will kind of kick in?
Well, that's a problem. No, and jokingly, people will say that was God's mistake to give us free will. But God wants us, all of us, but he doesn't want us as automata, you know. Just
automata,
yeah. Yeah, he wants us to come to him willingly.
Right.
And a lot of people just don't want to do that.
Uh-huh.
And he's sad about that. But you can't force people.
Mm-hmm. In your minds, because you mentioned with the current president, a lot of people, especially...
A lot of people don't, yeah.
Especially
if you're conservative.
Yeah. A lot of Christians and are not happy with where the direction go. Where would it be the line, do you think, between, you know, going along with it and kind of praying, but then, like, okay, man, I'm not going to do this?
You know, I don't know. I'd have to reach that line before it. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things that I don't agree with, but that line has never been drawn in my own personal opinion.
Right. And what about U.S. history? Do you think there's ever been...
No.
Okay.
I don't.
I don't think so.
I think there have been a lot of things that were done that maybe I wouldn't have agreed with had I been alive at the time, but things always manage to work themselves out in a way.
Well, can I play devil's advocate a little
bit?
Okay. So some of the most shameful parts of our American history, like, for example, slavery or discrimination, like an institutional discrimination. Had you been in that situation, what do you think you would... I assume you would disagree with those things.
I would have hidden slaves. You know, would have been an Underground Railroad person.
That happened in these era here.
Yeah, I did. In fact, the library in Linville has what they think is an underground hiding place.
Really?
Yeah, really, yeah. They found it when they remodeled the building.
Tell me about that.
The library in Linville, they remodeled it one day because it really was kind of creaky and falling around, so they did a lot of structural work. And when they pulled up the floor in the back and what was a kitchen, they found this big space, you know, and it wasn't like a cellar because there was no step or no place. It was probably as big as maybe, not half as big as his bathroom.
Uh-huh.
But it was a place, and it was hidden by a trap door. So it was obviously a place where something was to be hidden, and it probably wasn't food, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was around that era. So most people in Linville believe that was part of the Underground Railroad.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, the only thing evil men need to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
Okay, half gray.
Okay.
Because if the evil man, there's a bad sin, and the good people do not resist.
Uh-huh.
Then the evil will think the good man is so weak and has no power to resist. Okay. So the evil will keep increasing his power to the good man. But the good man will think, you're the evil and you have done one thing, and I just forgive you and give you one time to 改正. Means give you a second chance to be a good person.
So that's why you agree with it a little bit, that sometimes we need to let evil people make the first mistake.
Yeah.
But after that, we need to stop them. Has this happened to you?
Can I say that story when I was little in the war stretch?
Sure.
Okay. Just when I was so little and I am in the poor family, so and his army, and make the training every day, just not far from my house.
A soldier man?
Yeah, mm-hmm. A soldier man. And him makes the training every day. He trained for 1 year. At that time, we do really very poor, and they have the good food and the vegetables and the meat. Mm-hmm. So we always put our tong.
Oh, bucket, like laji tong. Yeah.
We always take our bucket, go to the restaurant, because they have the better life level, so sometimes they cannot finish all the food, and they will pour it out, and we just take the bucket to receive.
So they don't mind giving you the leftover food?
Yeah. We do not have the money to buy the package, to buy the meat. Uh-huh. So every noon, almost 90% of our village children will go to that place to get their leftover food. So one day you will not familiar with them, and the second day you will know, and the third day you will be familiar.
Familiar with the soldiers?
Soldiers, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when you're familiar with him, and when he has the leftover food, he will give to you and not give to others.
So you try to make friends with the soldiers?
Yes.
Ah.
And one day, this soldier told me, said, will you come at 1 o'clock, and I will give you something, which you can get more money.
And how old were you?
Just in my primary school.
Okay.
And I said, okay. So I get there on time. And he catch me, and he let me into a room. He's a soldier, and he has one room to sleep after their training for night. And yeah, and he did the best thing to me. First, I don't know how bad it is. Firstly, I just say, okay. Firstly, I don't know what he going to do. Mm-hmm. And later I know it, and he told me it's not hurt. I just say, if nothing, then you can be the things which I can sell to earn more money, to buy the ice cream. So later he just gave me the beer bottle.
To recycle?
Yeah.
Oh.
And one bottle, 0.1 RMB. Uh-huh. And after that, and in the afternoon, and I cried, and we just realized what he did to me, cry, and cannot go home. And I didn't tell my mom. You know, China, they were so attention about a girl's virgin.
Uh-huh. What you're saying is no man would want to marry a girl that had this happen to her, right?
Actually, yes. But now it's getting better. You can say, when this thing happened, I was in the primary school. It should be around 10 years old. Uh-huh. And now I'm 27, so 17 years passed, and he must be older. If at that time he has not got married, and it should be 20. 20 plus 17 is 37. Huh? 37.
对了。
When a man arrived 37 years old, he must be getting mature than before, and he will think always about his action and his experience. And I hope and I believe he has felt the regret already, because he must have a girl, a boy at least, a son or daughter, and he will love them so much. And he also hope his daughter would not be happy that things like mine. So I think maybe he has regret.
Yeah. Back to the quote about, you know, bad men only become bad if we let them be bad. Mm-hmm. How does that, the thing that happened to you, how does that affect the way you think about evil?
So now, if I have met these things again, I would call the police.
Resist.
Even the Chinese police do not work. But I would try.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. I know the Chinese police, they mostly sleep in their cars.
But I would try.
Yeah.
At least it's getting better. And there are so many Chinese little girls get raped, and they call the police and call the TV, cause a newspaper, and some famous website.
Yeah. Good.
And the source of the quotes? I'm lazy, but it's the lazy people who invented the wheel and the bicycle because they didn't like walking or carrying things, is by Lech Walesa, who was a Polish electrician who formed the Solidarity Trade Union movement to stand up to his country's oppressive Marxist government of the late 70s and 80s. During the weakening and eventual collapse of communism in Europe, Walesa became Poland's first freely elected president in over 60 years. At present, Walesa is 73 years old and is still actively irritating various forces of authoritarians throughout the world. Next quote. No intention have I to stay here long. Where wine fills a thousand cups, there I'll put up a transient home. If a sportive friend comes to drink with me, it grieves me more to think he has to leave. It is from the story Nan Ke Ji, or Dream Under Southern Bough, by Tang Xianzu, a low-level Chinese official from the 1600s, who also wrote at least four plays where dreams play a pivotal part of the stories. As operas, Tang Xianzu's stories are still performed regularly in China. And last quote. The only thing evil men need to triumph is for good men to do nothing. It is from Edmund Burke, who was an Irish statesman and philosopher who served in the British House of Commons during the 1700s and is remembered today for supporting the cause of the American Revolution yet opposing the French equivalent. In the Corner Back by the Woodpile podcast is produced by A Closet, A Pocket, and A Suitcase. You can email us at spuncounterguy@hotmail.com. And a special thanks to thebrofisticate.com.